119. You should know what our text or what our subject is then. Psalm 119. With school starting, I heard about a little girl that came home from school and she got her mother worked up because she told her, she said, "Mommy, today in school, I was punished for something I didn't do." Mom, man, she got bent out of shape, outraged. And she said, "That's terrible. I'm gonna call your teacher. What didn't you do?" She said, "Well, I didn't do my homework." All right. So I figured with school starting, many of you would handle that. And then this one, I just bear with me because I read it this afternoon and I couldn't help it. All right. Some of you would be very offended, but I figure you'll get over it once we get into the Word of God. "Because great peace have they, which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And that's in the text here. But there was a blonde that was speeding in a 25-mile-per-hour residential zone. And a police cruiser saw her, pulled her over, and it was a female police officer who also happened to be blonde. And so she asked for the blonde driver's license. So the driver was searching frantically in her purse for a while. And she said to the blonde police officer, "What does a driver's license look like?" And irritated, she says, "Don't be silly with me. It's got your picture on it." So the blonde frantically looked in her purse and she pulled out a compact and opened it up, and it had a mirror. And so she looked at it and she's like, oh, there it is. And she handed it to the blonde policewoman who looked at it. And she looked and handed it back to her, and she said, "You're free to go." She goes, "And next time, before we go all into this, if I'd have known you were a police officer, I'd have let you go." Oh, yeah. All right, sorry, blondes. But I couldn't pass it up. I couldn't pass it up. It's just like, that is so stupid, it's funny. All right, but anyways. It's great to be a teenager again. All right, but Psalm 119, we're going to look at verse 20. If you like listening to sermons, one suggestion, on Sermon Audio, there's a sermon entitled Holy Longings, and it's by Spurgeon. You may say, how in the world? I mean, Spurgeon was dead, but they have a reader, John Kelch, I think is his name. And he does a very good job in reading it. But he has a message from Spurgeon on this text in Psalm 119. And he does, as you know, Spurgeon can do a better job in just a few words, but he has a lot of words to say about this text. But in Psalm 119, in verse 20, it says, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times." Notice what it says, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." And then if you go to 131. All right, here's, "I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." You know, it should be true in our life. It should be true as a Christian. And I know we sang a song, "Lord, I've wandered far away from thee, I'm coming home." I think that's not just true for someone that is heading away from God, maybe in the area of salvation. They're trying to run away from God. But in our hearts, what do we say? Prone to wander. Prone to wander. That is sometimes our heart. But the scriptures should sometimes, there should be in us as a Christian just a longing to just read God's word. Just a panting, in essence, a desire, a strong desire that we just can't get enough of God. And it comes through his word. Fanny Crosby said, "Blessed Bible, sacred treasure, precious book of all the best. There is comfort never failing and a calm abiding rest. We read with reverence and commit it verse by verse and day by day. 'Tis the word that God has spoken, and it cannot pass away. We should have a love for God's Word. We're going to look at Psalm 119 specifically this evening. I'm going to look at the importance of the Word of God. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us as this morning we looked at the power of the Word of God and what it can do. Tonight I'd like to look at the importance of the Word of God. They're very similar in context, Lord. Lord, we ask for you to develop in us that longing. As the psalmist cried out, Lord, that we're longing and panting not for this world, but for the Word of God, for your judgments, for the law, for your precepts. I pray, Lord, you would do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power. In Jesus' name, amen. So two ideas this evening. First of all, the disadvantage of neglecting God's Word. It's found right here in Psalm 119. We're going to just kind of browse through it and take a run through it and look at different verses through Psalm 119. Now, Psalm 119, most of us know, I think there's only four verses that do not specifically say something about the Word of God. So if you're thinking about that, that's 172 times that something is said about the Word of God. There's at least 10 different words for the Word of God. You can see a bunch of them right in the first 8 verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. That's number 6. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. That's number 7. Go to verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So there are 8 different words right there in the first 9 verses. You will also see the word truth, the word righteousness, referring to the Word of God. So all of these words are different synonyms of one thing, and that is God's Word. And so the Bible is instructing us, and if there's a whole book, or not a whole book, but a whole chapter, and it's 176 verses. All right, think about that, 176 verses that God had a psalmist write about the Word of God, then the Word of God is very important. It's not something to take lightly. It's not something to put aside. And this morning we talked about the power of the Word of God because it can save us and it can teach us, it can reprove us, it can correct us, it can equip us. There's a whole bunch of things from 2 Timothy chapter 2 or 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the Bible reveals to us. But tonight, what happens if you neglect the Word of God? Look at verse 17. Verse 17. These aren't all in order. All right, going through the passage. I should have rearranged them to make them chronological here. But in verse 17, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Okay, notice what it says. If I keep his commandments, I live. All right, verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. So what is it saying then? Then the opposite is true. By neglecting the Word of God, the disadvantage of neglecting the Word of God, my faith is weakened. And this is what most of you know this. I know this in my own heart and life. When I distance myself from the Word of God, and some of it is just a regular time of reading. That's what should be very constant in our life. Right? Because guess what? I have a regular time that I eat normally. Right? We have, why do we call it breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Well, I'm forgetting that. I ain't doing that. I know what? I'm going to just do it extemporaneously. No, man, we have regular time that we eat. We even have irregular times that we eat besides the regular times that we eat. Why? Because we know we need that. And so there should be a regular time in your life that you are picking up the Word of God and you're reading it. Another little thing on sermon audio, if you are looking up things, there's a thing called Grace Treasures, I think it is. And J.C. Ryle was a Puritan that wrote kind of devotional thoughts, and he has a devotional thought about the importance of the Word of God. And one of those things he talks about is that as an individual, it should be a regular pattern that you're reading through the Word of God. You should be reading through the Word of God. If you say that you're a Christian, and if you've been saved more than 5 years and you have not read through the Bible, then I say that you're a carnal Christian. And you'd say, how can you say that? Because this is everything to me. And this should be everything to you as a Christian. How can you survive? How can you get strength? You cannot without the Word of God. So there must be a regular time. Have you read a fiction book? You probably have. Have you read a biography? You probably have. Have you read something? If you haven't read, then you need to read. Okay? But we read all kinds of other things, and there's nothing wrong with reading newspapers and reading articles. We should be up on current events. We should be reading. We should be educating ourselves. But if I'm forgetting the most important book, and that is the Bible, if I am not reading from the Word of God, guess what? The disadvantage of neglecting the Word of God, first of all, my faith is weakened. Weakened. Notice, secondly, Psalm 119, or we're there. Look at verse 33. All right, this goes along with that song. Remember, teach me, O Lord, thy way. I thought that was interesting. I knew I was preaching it, and thy way was capitalized in that song every time. Because way is another word for the Word of God. So look at, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. So we're asking God to teach me, and then I'm going to keep it. So it sounds like, guess what's happening? He's guiding my steps. Give me understanding. I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity and quicken thou me. That word means to be made alive. So I can be made alive in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. You'll notice a couple times in there that he's asking him to refrain him from something, turn him away from something, and guidance. So if I neglect the Word of God, my faith is weakened, my fellowship becomes distant. My fellowship with God becomes different. What am I going to start doing? I'm going to start being covetous. I'm going to start beholding things that are vanity. That's all in that passage. So by getting close to the book, guess what it helps me do? Have a right relationship with God. So again, we go back to it. So why do you neglect your reading? Why do you neglect your reading? I don't care if it's rote sometimes. I understand that. It's rote to me sometimes. But just because food maybe tastes bland, are you skipping it? Oh, no, no, no. I can see you out there. All right? Our pews are supposed to fit like 24 people in a pew. No, I'm just kidding. All right? Because some of you are like, good holy, 24? How can you do that? Well, you know what? Starving people, you put them all, line them up. All right? No, but guess what? Like even down in the chapel, we used to joke about it because when we had we had those old pews, and the old pews were said to hold 8 people in each pew. I was like, I don't know what Americans they've had sitting together, but that's just way too uncomfortable. All right? No, you ain't sitting 8 men in that pew. That's really creepy. Ain't doing it. Because guess what? Even though food may be a little bland, guess what I'm still doing? Yeah, I'm still eating it. Why? Because I know I got to eat. Got to have food. So you say, oh, you know what? God's just not speaking to me right now. You still need food. You still need food. So guess what I do? I still get in God's Word and I still read, and you know what? After time, God just stirs it back up again.
And then maybe he might say, hey, take a little extra time. But this is what I can guarantee you. You stop eating, your fellowship with God is going to become distant. You're not going to have a right relationship. The disadvantage of neglecting God's word, my faith is weakened, my fellowship becomes distant. Look at verse 3. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. All right, I'm walking in his ways. Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Counseling helps me to, or counseling and getting in a way, and it says I'm not doing iniquity. And there's other verses, there's all kinds of verses in Psalm 119 that you can pick, okay? But my faith is weakened, my fellowship becomes distant, my growth stops. My growth stops. This right here, without it, I can guarantee you, you will not become stronger. And we already read some verse about strengthen me in thy word. That can mean some of those seem to indicate that he was discouraged and so there was strength. But some of it is you just gain strength by eating food. And it's the right type of food. That's why we teach even the right book. You know, some people, I was listening to a guy even this week, and I thought it was a pretty good point. He was talking about the NIV and all the other perversions that are out there of the scripture. And he was saying, you know what? I've heard over and over that King James is just hard to understand. It's just really hard for an unbeliever to understand. But what they find is that the NIV and this are easy. Uh-oh. You just answered the question. To the natural man, the word of God is hard. So what is it? The NIV? It's the devil's book. They can say whatever they want, but why? Because I know unbelievers, they get along with it. When unbelievers get along with this book, it's not a good thing. And what you'll find is you get in this book and it'll start strengthening you. It'll help you grow. It'll help you, and that's why you should develop a regiment of Bible reading and Bible study. If you want to help yourself, and I know we have sports, and so if we want to get better at something, let's say it's weightlifting, let's say it's in volleyball, or let's say it's in basketball, or let's say it's in soccer. So what do I do? Avoid it? Avoid it? Do I not practice? Do I not do more with it? No, I'm gonna do more in basketball. I'm going to try to practice. I might try to lift. I'm going to put some strenuousness there. In the same way, you want to get good at the Word of God, then push yourself at it. Read a little more. Study a little bit. All right, now as a church, all right, think about this. Remember, we used to announce all the time, hey, fall classes are coming. And I understand. I mean, here you are working. Some of you work 60 hours a week. And you're like, well, how in the world can I take a class? Well, you can't online now. Oh, yeah. You say, well, I'm not going to get no degree. I'm not asking you that. So why wouldn't you want New Testament survey? Why wouldn't you want Old Testament survey? Why wouldn't you want the life of Christ or maybe Hebrew history or something and try to learn something? It's just one class. Why wouldn't we try to do that? Because it's God's word. It's more about it. It's going to help me. It's going to gain me strength. Instead, guess what I do? I'm going to read all kinds of other nonsense. I'm going to study maybe some psychology. I'm going to take this or that. No, get in God's word. Study God's word. Make a regiment and work at it. The reward would be astonishing to you. Because guess what? Your faith is weakened when you neglect it. Your fellowship becomes distant when you neglect it. Your growth stops when you neglect it. Also, look at verse 9 and 10. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So this is what I can tell you also. The last one as far as neglecting. My faith is weakened. My fellowship becomes distant. My growth stops. My flesh yields to temptation. You're having a problem with some area of temptation. It could be in money. It could be in thought life. It could be with anger. It could be with your tongue. Then go to the Bible. I mean, hey, I can tell you this, any one of my staff will help you. I know this about my staff. Any one of us will stop any time to help you. We'll give you a list of verses and memorize it. Get it in here. Write it down. Put it on a 3x5 card. Slip it in your pocket. You're at work. You're going to do something. Pull it out. Pull it out and say, man, you know what? God, I'm having a problem with my tongue. And I could give you a ton of verses out of the book of Proverbs or out of the book of James. And it could help you even this morning. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth. All right, and that's in Ephesians. All right, maybe you have a problem with just flat out being nice. Well, then memorize Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another. Why? Because you're an idiot. Because you're a jerk. Memorize a verse. Maybe it'll help you. I don't know if that was to me. I'm trying. I'm working at it. But my flesh yields to temptation when I'm not in this book. Spurgeon tells the story of a woman that came to speak to him in private. He spoke to her about her soul. She told him how deeply she felt and how she desired to serve God. And then she said this, but you know what, Mr. Spurgeon? I find another law in my members. So Charles Spurgeon led her in the Bible to Romans chapter 7. Remember Romans 7, it says, the good that I would I do not, and the evil which I would not, that I do. And the lady looked at him and said, that's in the Bible? Spurgeon said this. I could not blame her because he knew that she had no interest in the Bible. And then he said, and that's what I believe about the majority of our society. He said, oh, the majority of people know more about their ledgers than their Bible. They know more about their day books than what God has written. Many of you will read a novel from beginning to end, and what have you got? A mouthful of froth when you have done. But you cannot read the Bible. That solid, lasting, substantial, and satisfying food goes uneaten. Locked up in the cupboard of neglect, while anything that man writes, a catch of the day, is greedily devoured. Now, as Spurgeon, as you can see, can put it in an eloquent fashion. But it says what happens to many of us. Oh, look what they wrote. I got to read that. But what about this? Don't pack it away. We said the first point is the disadvantage of neglecting God's word. But in this passage, we also see the advantage of heeding God's word. What's the advantage? Look at verse 22. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Look at verse 63. Or 163, sorry, way back at the end. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Look at, I didn't put them in order, 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. What is it tied to? Right? The advantage of taking heed to God's word is sin is freed. All right, as in, I'm freed from sin. All right, sin no longer shackles me. Why? Because the power of the Word of God is there and it's evident. That's why I say if you're having problem with something, get in the Word of God. If it's your tongue, if it's bitterness, if it's anger, if it's covetousness, whatever it may be, get in the Bible, get some verses, study it out and say, God help me. Do you think that our Savior will not help you? Oh, he's there. And he says he'll give you how much more? Remember the example of the Holy Spirit. He says even a father, even a bad father, if a child comes to him and says, please, please, please. In his heart, he says, all right, I got to do it. And he says, how much more? Our Heavenly Father. That's our Heavenly Father. You think he's going to withhold from you? Even the Bible says he spared not his own son. That means he's going to give you what you need. The shackles of sin are removed. Then look at verse 24. We are there in 22 at remove from me reproach and contempt. Look at verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So sin shackles are freed, but my soul receives counsel. I receive counsel from the Word of God. And we talked about that this morning. Look at verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. There's a word. You guys think I have bad language sometimes. Look at that. It's right there. I've stuck unto thy testimonies. Oh, Lord, put me not to shame. But then, and that shame indicates conscience, doesn't it? So then go to verse 69. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. It's indicating that even though all kinds of other people can say stuff, the Word of God, guess what it does? It's a purifying agent that keeps your conscience clean and clear. That's what the Word of God can do. The advantage of taking, of reading the Word of God and being in the Word of God is this world gets nuttier and nuttier. And this world is, it's bad. It's horrible. It's dirty. It's vile. And I'm talking spiritually. So how can I keep clean? The Word of God can keep my conscience pure. It can help me there. Look at verse 35. 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Look at verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. All right? Then we'll come back to that thought. Then go to 133. Order my steps in thy word. In thy word. And then did you notice that one in verse 59? I thought on my way, so I'm meditating. And guess what happened? I'm in the Word of God and turned my feet. So my feet was wanting to go a different direction, but because of the power of the Word of God, boom, it changed my direction. You know what? You can bank on this. If you have a good heart before God, if you have a good heart and a pure heart and you're coming before him and saying, God, and you're open with him and you say, God, I know I have a tendency to do this and this and this, but God, you've got to help me. You've got to direct me. And you end up getting up and you say, oh, God didn't say anything and I'm going to start walking this way. If your heart is right, God, through the Word of God will be directed. We referenced that this morning with even James' testimony. James was praying and praying and praying, and all of a sudden, over 3 years, God went boom, 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 moved his feet. Moved his feet. That's why you line up with the Word of God. That's why I cannot get away from the Word of God. Why? Because this book will guide my steps. My shackles are freed. My soul receives counsel. My conscience is clean. Clean. My path is directed. The Word of God corrects us. You know, you can't, if you know a little bit about flying, you know, a lot of times they'll get up in the air and the pilot kind of turns it on autopilot, but it doesn't just Guess what that rendering or the machinery is doing? It's continually adjusting. Because it'll veer off because of winds, because the power of the engines, all right, because of different things. So it's continually adjusting. That's what the Word of God can do in your path. Because there are winds of our flesh. There are all kinds of things that are out there that are trying to push us off the path that God wants us on. Some of it is our flesh, but some of it is the world. Some of it is the devil. Some of it is friends. There's a lot of things that are trying to misdirect our path. And so daily, and sometimes it's multiple times, I need to get to the Word of God. Why? Because the devil comes in and he takes my thoughts in a different direction. Get back to the book. Why? Because the Bible says here in verse 59, I thought on my ways and it turned my feet. Trust God through the power of the Word of God to move your feet. Shackles are freed. My soul receives counsel. My conscience is clean. My path is directed. Look at verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Changes your perspective so that, guess what happens? My conduct is purified. I hate every false way. And the more that you're in this, the more you'll recognize falsehood. You won't have to be this theologian that is there like, oh, well, they have reached this level. No, a lot of those guys that have reached that level, they don't believe this anymore. Because their intellect has taken over and now they're better than the book. No, I don't have to be better than this book. I will never get to a place that I'm better than the book. And I don't get to the place, even this morning in our class, there was a lady and she was saying, yeah, I try to witness to people and they say, oh, you're so weak that you have to have church. Nah, they don't even know what they're missing. They don't understand that, no, it's through church that I have the strength. They don't understand the freedom that exists through Christ. They don't understand that they're shackled. Just try to do without your sin. You that scoff at Christianity, you that scoff at the Word of God, try to live without your sin for one day. Oh, you did it one day? Go two. Oh, go three. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. You don't understand how sin and how this flesh and how this world and how the devil can grip somebody and grip a life and shackle them. But the more I'm around this book, the purer your conduct can be. And all of a sudden, I'm not doing that. Why not? It's false. And through the Word of God, you'll start to recognize falsehood. My conduct is purified. Look at verse 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. 130 says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. So what happens? What's the advantage? My shackles are freed, my soul receives counsel, my conscience is clean, my path is directed, my conduct is purified, my wisdom is increased. And this one, I love, it's verse, there's a bunch of them, so let's start in 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Look at 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. 64. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Remember the word, the seven is And numerology in the Bible is a number of perfection. So he's saying he's giving perfect praise. Why? Perfect praise. Uh-oh. We don't have time to deal with it, but perfect praise is always aligned with this. The book. So guess what? When musicians get up and they're aligned with the world, I know it's not perfect praise. Why? Because that doesn't align with the book. Perfect praise always is aligned with the book. As I said, I don't have time to dwell on that aspect, but what he's saying is, I can when I'm in this book, I can perfectly praise him. 166, Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation. 167, my soul hath kept thy commandments, and I love them exceedingly. So all in that passage, 111, 114, 162, 164, oh, 165, we got to remember that because my joke at the beginning, great peace have they which live by law and nothing shall offend them. What is it saying? When I'm engrossed in the Word of God, I'm joyful. That's why, and for me, a lot, and now it's, you know, working with adults too. I have a lot of experience working with a teenager, and a parent will say, hey, so how do you know there's wrong there? Some of it is you just know these things after a while. As I say, once I teach the college students, I call it the 10,000 hour rule. When you've done something for 10,000 hours, there's some things you just know. Just like some of you in your trade, if it's woodworking or whatever, you're like, oh, that's a piece of junk wood. You're like, oh, no, it's not. Why? Well, because you spent so much time with wood, you can just look and say, oh, that's junk. Well, it's the same way. When you're working with, when you're working in the ministry, after a while, you know things. Why? Because you've been at it for a while. And with the young person, you can look sometimes and say, yeah, there's something off. But another reason is because there's no joy. Somebody that is around the Word of God, there's joy. There's joy in their life. And it doesn't mean, and you'd say, oh, you mean that nothing bad happens? No, you're taking the scriptures and you're twisting them. All right, as I call that, that's a heavy metal band right there, Twisted Scriptures. All right, that's right there. They're rocking it out. All right, I don't want anything to do with that heavy metal band. All right, why? Because it's heavy metal, one, and it's also wrong. But guess what? Because I can't just take something and just, you know, make it fit into my life. No, what the Bible is saying is that when I'm engrossed in the Word of God, there's a joy and happiness there. It's not saying that there's not going to be something wrong happen. Read Philippians. What is it? It's the book of joy. But where did he write it from? Prison. You say, how is that possible? I can't explain it all to you except for this. It's this book. There's a joy that comes in spending time in this book. And this is what I can promise you. This is what I can promise you, and I started to address this at the beginning, and that is that our Heavenly Father is such a gracious Heavenly Father that if you come to Him and say, God, you know what, I don't know much about the Word of God, but I desire it and I long for it. Don't you think that our Heavenly Father, Do you think he's going to deny you? No, he's going to come, and I believe he will spread a feast for you. And you'll sit down at that table, and you'll partake at that table, and the devil will come, and the world will come, and they'll have allurements, and they have their little Twinkies, and they have their other little things, the little twinkets of food, and they'll say, oh, come and grab this. But you'll say, no, man, the feast that God has spread before me is unbelievable. That's what the Word of God can be. It's a banquet every day that is spread before us. But you gotta get up to that table. You gotta sit down there. And I believe God will serve up fresh manna every day. I believe He's willing to serve up that hot bread right there for you. Why? Because that is our Heavenly Father. That's the joy that is there. In spiritual warfare, as in physical warfare, the effectiveness of any weapon is in proportion to the efficiency of one operating it. In World War II, the U.S. Army would assign a new recruit a rifle, and it stayed with him all through his training and all through his service. And you know what it became called affectionately? His peace. It became part of him. He handled the piece continually. He disassembled the piece. He reassembled the piece. He cleaned the piece. He conducted basic maintenance on the piece. He carried his piece 12 hours a day. Sometimes he would sleep with his piece. He would cross rivers and streams. And his head might get wet. But guess what? You've seen the pictures of them. They're like this, because my piece ain't getting wet. I love my piece. That piece became part of them. In the heat of battle, though, when bullets are flying by, that soldier was glad that he had a relationship with his piece, because he could tell when it was malfunctioning. He could just sense it. Why? Because he slept with his piece. He ate with his piece. He cleaned his piece. He disassembled his. It became a part of him. And this is what I can tell you. In spiritual warfare, this piece needs to become part of you so that when it's missing, oh, where's it at? Where's it at? In fact, I read about a man. This was recently, in the last 10 years. He was a man that was looking at, he was in the military, but then he got out of the military, and he was contracted. They have contracts that the military do. They're civilian contracts, but it was going to be in Afghanistan and stuff like that, that area. This was at least 10 years ago. And so he was a Christian. You know what he started doing? He started memorizing the whole book of Hebrews. And then he started all through different passages. He told his pastor, he said, you know why I'm doing that? I'm going over to a land that doesn't respect us that much. And if they take me, I can't live without it. So it's going to be here. Because they're not going to remove that. Or they can. But then he's in heaven. He said, I will have it with me. Because I can't live without it. Is that you? One man wrote it this way. The anvil of God's word. I love this poem. Last eve I paused beside the blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, said he. And then with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammer out, you know. And so I thought about the anvil of God's word. For ages, skeptics' blows have beat upon. Yet though the noise of falling blows was heard, the anvil is unharmed. The hammer's gone. That is this. Skeptics, atheists, agnostics, unbelievers, they have taken this book, railed on it, despised it, hated it, have sworn their life's mission to destroy it. The anvil is still here, and they are gone. How do you value this book? The value will be seen this week. Will you read it tomorrow? Will you read it Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday? Is there times that your heart's desire longs for this? And nothing else will satisfy. That's God nudging you, saying, have some more time with me. You'll never regret an extra minute in this book. But you will regret some minutes in life. I do. But I've never, ever regretted one moment with this book. May God help us to cherish it. Heads bowed, eyes closed.